This episode of Discover ADN is brought to you by Alpha Efficiency, a monthly productivity magazine that focuses on helping people like you live purposeful lives by exploring new tools, techniques, and productivity principles. They offer insights for purposeful living instead of canned systems, allowing you to use only the tips and techniques that work for you. Check out Alpha Efficiency in the Apple App Store or on their website at alphaefficiency.com/magazine. Welcome to another episode of Discover ADN, a podcast dedicated to learning more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. Join me in attaching a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timeline, while also getting to know a little bit more about the people who make our social network such a nice place to visit. Want to be in the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to DiscoverADN. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with John Scolomero, who goes by the name JDS Colum on app.net. He describes himself as an app.net dreamer and is also the founder of both the Monday Night Dance Party as well as ADN Presents. Please join me in welcoming John to Discover ADN. Hello!
Hey, yo, what's up?
I see you're part of that new social network.
What new social network? Is there something new? Did I miss something? Are we talking Yammer or something?
Social network where people can only say yo to each other?
Oh, I know. I didn't even know about that. That's awesome.
We clearly have different definitions of awesome. But let's talk about this social network. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
Oh, man. It would have been in August whenever they were doing the Kickstarter funding. Somebody said the words free or ad-free social network for money. And I was like, sign me up. So, and then I saw they had dev accounts and I was like, oh, excellent. So, yeah, it would have been August, but almost 2 years ago now.
All right. Does this also explain why you joined app.net? Because it's both ad-free and paid?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like the idea of being cattle. Say what you will about being a little on the heavy side, but, I don't like being sold for, produce on the open social market, which is, basically the funding model and the revenue model of Twitter, Facebook, and Skype and any social network currently. That's their revenue model. And so when somebody had the idea of, hey, look, why don't you be our customer and we'll build stuff for you, you just pay us every year or whatever, I was like, yes, that's awesome. So plus I like the kind of pioneery feel that it had. A lot of my early app.net posts I would sign off by saying something like, welcome to the plains, or, welcome fellow pioneers, or something goofy like that. So I really kind of dug that aspect of it.
You use a pseudonym on app.net. Can you tell us, where does JDS Colum come from?
Oh, God. Man, that's like the silliest thing ever. Basically, it's just my first name, my middle initial, and enough characters of my last name to make 8 characters. And it's what I got turned into, the number I was turned into in college, so to speak. But nobody picks it. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a great username. And it's easy to remember. So
what would you like to see more of on app.net?
Other than people?
Other than people.
Space Cat Gal captures it very well in that app.net doesn't have a community problem or culture problem, but it has a community problem and a culture problem. And that is that all the right people were there, but a compelling argument and a compelling feature set was never built to continue to attract all the right people. The idea of build it and they will come, it's more like, hey, look, let's pave a parking lot, set up, some drywall, and then tell everybody to come on in and build their own stores. And people will show up. Well, we all had full-time jobs and things going on. And so, you know, even those of us who are true believers, you know, you had somebody like Bill Kunz show up and be like, you know, hey, I'm going to build like the best store ever. And everybody's like, that's the best store ever. But there's only one. And so all of the cool, unique, interesting things that you could do on app.net and that you still can do on app.net never really materialized. And I think that primarily has to do with, you know, an issue that I ran into early on. I built one of the first things I built for app.net, which quickly disappeared into nothing, was something called Raptor Mods. And I created, this is around the idea that app.net is to social networks as Minecraft is to gaming. It's basically a giant modding platform. And so you can mod anything alongside of it. And so that was really a big kind of aha moment for me. And I built this, what I called a Raptor mod for tagging. And the idea was that you could, anybody could tag a post. And I built out the API necessary to sit alongside app.net, and as well as the database backend necessary to handle all of the amount of traffic that you have and scale, you know, practically infinitely. And then it was like, okay, this is great. This is here. Let's use it. And then nobody's going to use it because, you know, I couldn't put it out there with the potential to wake up to a $2,000 bill one day. And, you know, I would then have the problem of, hey, look, it kind of like what you're going to have with NiceRank, you know, it's great and all, but now you got to convince people who are writing clients to put it into their apps. And so, you know, I think the reason why the sorts of amazing, interesting things, and I'm going to put a little asterisk there, because amazing, interesting things did show up on app.net that you can't do anywhere else or not as well anywhere else. But then they sort of, you know, I like the term, I think Ryan Tharp used bit rot. They all sort of got bit rot on them because, you know, there was this lack of a funding problem, you know, this lack of funding problem, you know. So I think that was kind of some of my thoughts around that and stuff. So
let's change gears a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
If you're trying to bait me into saying Monday Night Dance Party, I'll say Monday Night Dance Party. No, I would
that
say
is the next question.
On app.net or just in the internet in general, I would like to be known for being just a unique, interesting person. And I like connecting other people together. You know, it's like, hey, I know you are interesting and I know this other person is interesting and you guys have some crossover in interesting. So why don't you talk to each other and build a community together and get to know each other? I really enjoy doing that a lot. In fact, it's been one of the things I've enjoyed most on, particularly app.net, because it's a safe environment to do that. Oh yeah, it might be the internet and it's out there, but they're not selling you and your connections, and they're not selling that process of bringing interesting people together. That's not how they make money. And so that, for me, makes it safe for me to do that. And so I like doing that. Professionally, I'm a software developer and architect for a major company. And, you know, obviously everything I say is not related to my place of work and are my own opinions, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I just like to be known as being helpful to others and creating beautiful things. I love creating beautiful, unique things. So,
well, on the topic of beautiful, creative things, can you tell us what is one of the projects that you have brought into the world that you are most proud of?
Yeah, that's a really great question. You know, actually, something, it's surprisingly, it's not anything that's on app.net, actually. There are two, actually, that I'm extraordinarily proud of, and both were in my work life. One was creating an architecture for real-time automated trading that I really, really thoroughly enjoyed doing and was extremely proud of the outcome of that. And then the other one is I had to come up with I really got interested in interactive mapping, but applied to certain types of business problems. And like really big problems. Like, how do you take 10,000 things or 100,000 things or a million things and throw them on a map and make it digestible for the human mind as well as the mapping technology that we have right now? That led to some really interesting paths, and actually had a conversation with, well, two interesting conversations. One where somebody said, well, I don't think this is possible. You're not going to be able to do this. And I did it. And then the second one was, you know, the quote of somebody who probably doesn't want their name used, but they basically said, if John can find a better clustering algorithm than Esri, he shouldn't be working here. And I did. I was able to do that, which I thought was fascinating and really mind-bending. That type of math is just a whole nother universe. So anyway, those are a couple things that I'm really proud of.
All right. Well, it's a shame that we can't see them. Let's take a look at the Monday Night Dance Party. Now, this is something that when I joined app.net, I believe Monday Night Dance Party was one of the first recurring things that I had seen in my timeline. So what compelled you to start Monday Night Dance Party?
Man, I've gotten that question a lot. Basically, the long and the short of it is I was bored and lonely one night, and it was early on in app.net, and I was like, it was a Monday night, and there was just nothing going on. You know, my kid was asleep, my wife was asleep, and I was just bored, and I was like, you know what nobody does on a Monday? Nobody has a dance party on a Monday. Why? I mean, it's just your first day back from work. It doesn't, you know, the weekend's over. Mondays suck. And I was like, you know what? You know, we do things on app.net that nobody else does. So we're going to have a dance party. And so I just started, I started posting clips of YouTube videos, just the URLs in the app.net global timeline and with the hashtag Monday Night Dance Party. You know, next thing I know, Poe, and I hadn't even met Poe yet. They started posting clips back, and I was like, you know, and it almost became this competition is like, you know, was your clip good enough to play on Monday Night Dance Party? And so it sort of evolved from there into this whole, like, I had like two computers running, and I was like live streaming the show from one computer using YouTube playlists while I was posting to app.net on the other computer. And it just sort of took off because people were like, yeah, this is kind of cool. And it's almost like a request show of all of the music that you don't know but you love, or all the music that you do know. So that's kind of how it started.
Have you ever considered changing the format to something not quite like a radio show, but something where your voice is in between the videos, sort of like Casey Kasem?
Yeah, actually, that has been something we've talked about. We've done little experiments with it. In fact, when I was doing the live streaming show, the first big finish, I think, if I remember correctly, was Halloween, and there were like three people watching the live stream show at the end, and I played a clip from Alan Parsons' project, Tales of Mystery and Imagination, which is their take on Edgar Allan Poe, and I actually sang along with like the last song as the big finish, and anybody who caught that was like, wow, that was really weird. But I mean, we're talking 2 a.m. on Halloween. It was like, it's weird, but it's cool. So yeah, that's something we've talked about. Actually, the technology kind of has held us back. One of the consistent struggles we've always had with Monday Night Dance Party is that we have all these great ideas, but then somebody needs to go build it, right? And, you know, it's kind of tough for me to, like, build it. Like, I pour so much into MNDP every week and every year. Like, I don't know if you've seen, like, any of our Christmas shows or, like, our special show. Like, it's just a great community thing, and it takes up a lot of time to do. And so all that extra time of, like, having to figure out the YouTube APIs in order to get my voice to show up as a clip is ending and then interact, you know, between clips with the way that we're actually using the API would be doable, but somebody's got to sit there and build it. And I don't have the time to do it. And, you know, God bless him, Ryan spends so much time and has spent so much time working on VidCast. And then back when Derg was a part of it, he did as well. But they have lives and families as well, and jobs, and they just hit burnout with certain things. So, Yeah, so it kind of goes back to that whole funding thing. Like, you know, we need to give people money to do these things because, you know, otherwise they can't afford to do them, you know?
Do you think that in the future we might see, perhaps not through Backer, but either through Kickstarter or Indiegogo, do you think we'll see crowdfunding for little ideas to give a developer or a team of developers the resources they need to build something?
I think it's possible. But see, we have, and you know, I'm about to light a fire that I'm not sure I want to light, but I'm going to light it anyways. We have an intrinsic problem in the technology space in that we are just as scientific as the science nerds, and we're just as creative as the creatives. In fact, we share, you know, if there were, you know, the Venn diagram, like there is no, you know, we're both, right? Because you need to be so creative to create something out of nothing. And you need to be so analytical to make sure that all of those pieces fit together and build just right, that there's this giant, massive crossover. But the problem is, we're not nerdy enough for the science geeks, and we're not cool enough for the creatives. And so we're kind of stuck in this vacuum where it's really hard, at least at this point in time, for a Rockstar developer, I mean, pretty hard without, you know, except in the gaming industry, which is a whole nother thing. But it's pretty hard for a Rockstar developer to go out there and say, hey, look, I'm just as cool as those cats on Patreon, so give me, you know, $10 a feature. You know, it's a neat funding model, and maybe it's worthwhile, maybe it'd be doable. But it hasn't been successful that I've seen outside of games. And we tried to do a Kickstarter, or an Indiegogo, actually, with VidCast, and we poured our lives and souls into that thing, you know? And we were asking for a pretty low sum of $11,000 for Ryan to just totally revamp the whole shebang. And myself and Kimberly Carr and Ryan Tharp and several others, like Caso, and I'm trying to think of the other people who, like Red Queen Coder, and oh, what's his name? Alex K. I can't tell you, like, the hundreds of hours we poured into this campaign, and all total we maybe raised $2,000. And yet we had figured out, and what we were proposing was a fully open media sharing platform with app.net as the back end. So you want to create a playlist and instantly share it with a touch of a button with somebody else? No problem. That playlist could be made up of a smash of any type of media you could put together, because working with Caso, we could play any type of media you could throw on your app.net storage. So MP3s, MP4s, anything, AUGs, lossless, whatever, you know, FLAC, the whole nine yards. We could play it, right? We knew how to do that. We could play it. We could put it on your device. We could put it on your computer. And we could mix it and mix these playlists in together with YouTube videos, Vimeo, and SoundCloud. So you'd have literally the perfect media sharing platform. You could share playlists. You could share ordered playlists. You could turn those playlists into a show at the touch of a button. And we proposed all this, like, and you could mix it in together with, like, pictures and anything. And we proposed this amazing thing. We put our hearts and souls into it. And like I said, we raised maybe about $2,000. And I know a lot of people are kind of taking the whole, like, hey, even if we don't meet our goal, you know, we're still going to take your money and build something. But I don't feel good about that. That just doesn't feel right to me. And so, you know, I have to say I was pretty surprised. Now, there was a little bit of, you know, we needed a community to appear around us. And our fans really did, like, pitch in a lot. Lena, oh, man. Like, she created these wonderful designs for things. Same with 33 Megahertz and his wife and their friends. But in the end, you know, it was just apparently not as compelling as, you know, to the broader market as something like, who's a good example? Pomplamoose and John Conti or Jack Conti. And I love them. In fact, you know, they really inspire me with what they're doing, but I just don't find that, you know, the hardcore kind of development space or app space really gets that level of, you know, cult following, I guess, enough where somebody will continue to pay you. Does that make sense?
I think it does, yes. Okay. Well, let's see if we can move on to something just a smidgen more positive. Can you tell us about something that you like?
Okay, yeah, I can. And I'll pick something really off the wall. I'm really engaged and invested in Russian culture, Russian food, Russian, the language, and Ukrainian, Russian and Ukrainian. The people, I love that part of the world. I hate their politics. Don't get me wrong. Let's get the political argument out of the way. But the people and the actual like historical culture of that area is fascinating to me. I've traveled to St. Petersburg twice on exchange, and it really just it's something that I love and am really interested in.
Well, that sounds great. Have you spoken with Sir Skidmore about Russia?
No, I haven't. I probably should. Is he interested in that sort of stuff?
Yeah, he's currently studying Russian in university.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I got to touch base with him on that.
All right. Well, I think this is a good point for us to segue into the final question. And this is where we get to recommend some of the people that we find very interesting. You've already mentioned a lot of people in this show, but could you tell us three people who you would recommend that we follow?
I think, okay, yeah. The very first person I'm going to mention is Poe. And I won't cheat. I was planning on cheating, but I'm not going to cheat. I think you should, everybody needs to follow Poe. He is like the brother, uncle you never had and would love to be around for everybody. I mean, he's just a wonderful, sweet, amazing guy. He and his wife are just are wonderful. And, you know, he's kind of the heartbeat of app.net to a certain extent. You know, rather, and he doesn't even want to be, but he kind of is. He's the good-natured soul of app.net, I guess. I gotta give you two more that I would recommend, huh? And they should be people that haven't already been mentioned. Ooh, that's gonna be tough. Lover or hater, I think you should follow, everybody should follow Space Cat Gal. Even if you wish that, you know, even if you wish she were your sister or you wish you could unfollow her and unfriend her and mute her and ban her. Everybody should follow her because she's a catalyst for change in conversation, and that's a good thing. You know, I don't always agree with her, but I am passionately invested in her endeavors with Revolution 60 and Giant Space Cat. I love what they're doing there. That's excellent, and she really does spark some wonderful, thought-provoking conversations. And a lot of times, a lot of things, in particular, I think about app.net and the culture. She's right, and she's got her thumb on the pulse of things. And then I'd like to take a beat here and just say that, you know, I'm kind of sad because a lot of the people that I would have loved to recommend following aren't there anymore. And that's, I think, kind of heartbreaking. But for other people that are there and are still active, man, I should probably give the geeks a heads up. I think everybody should follow Casso. Actually, I think Casso would be my last recommendation. You know, he has a brilliant mind and he has a brilliant taste in music. And it's been wonderful getting to know him. I think he's a great guy. Which is funny because, you know, that rounds up my three and I wish I could, you know, tell you 15 other people that are just must follows, you know, who make up that core heart and soul of, you know, what app.net is and should be.
All right. Well, thank you very much for those recommendations. And thank you again for being my guest today.
Hey, no problem. Just remember, be excellent to each other.
And this concludes the 29th episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank John for taking the time to chat with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. And I would also like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Alpha Efficiency. Have a nice day!